Please take your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Psalms, number 24. The book of Psalms, number 24, and we'll read the entire psalm. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Now, we've been using the Westminster Larger Catechism to examine our experience at the Lord's table. And we've been reminded from Scripture that God's people can have varied experiences as they come together to celebrate God's great work of redemption. Some time ago, we were reminded of the Passover festival celebrated during the days of King Hezekiah back in Jerusalem in Israel. And as the people of God gathered there in Jerusalem for this feast, remembering God's redemption of them, bringing them out of slavery in Egypt, there was this overwhelming joy as they gathered and they did all of the things that are part and parcel of that festival. And there was so much joy and delight in remembering God's redemptive work that they decided together to stay another whole week celebrating God's great work of redemption. In almost the completely opposite fashion, the Corinthian church, gathering to celebrate that greater redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection to rescue us, not from Egypt, but from sin and hell, that church was messing up badly. Their experience necessitated some very strong words and warnings from the Apostle Paul. So there can be these varying experiences, and it will greatly profit our time at the Lord's table if we're willing to examine ourselves after the fact. Here's the bottom line. We want to love our Lord Jesus Christ more, just as we've been singing. And if we can honestly say that during this Lord's Supper service, we are loving the Lord Jesus, then don't you want to love him better? And if, on the other hand, you have to acknowledge there's been a waning of love or even an abandonment of love, then clearly repentance is necessary and grace for a heart that will be eager to fellowship with the Lord Jesus. So, what are we to look for? What are we to examine if there is no present benefit? Remember, that was the phrase that these Puritan pastors used in terms of describing a poor experience at the Lord's Supper. No present benefit. So, if that's our experience, what should we look for and examine? Well, the Puritan pastors behind the Westminster Catechism urged their people to examine two specific issues if they were finding no spiritual benefit at the Lord's table. The first area was examine your preparation for the service, and then secondly, examine your carriage at the service. Now, of course, that's simply Old English to say, examine your behavior during this service. Now, if you're familiar with the writings of the Puritans, you will understand that they placed a great emphasis upon the preparation of the heart for the worship of God, preparing to spend time in God's holy presence. Now, it's not that they didn't believe in God's omnipresence, that God is present everywhere all the time, and so as a result, we should live in the fear of God. But they recognized that God makes himself present and known to his people in a special way when God's people gather for worship on the Lord's Day. It's often called the special presence of God. And they said, because we're entering into that as God's people, we need to prepare our hearts. And so, in their pastoral ministry to their people, they echoed the biblical teaching about preparing to meet God. Now, Psalm 24 that we've just read is one of those passages in God's Word that exhorts us to that very thing. Even asking the question, who is able to spend time with God in his holy place? And the clear answer that is given is the person who has prepared their hearts through confession of sin. And as a result, they come to God, their hands are clean, their hearts are pure. And the psalmist acknowledges very clearly, such a person will be blessed by God as they enter into that time of worship. Now we know that that same teaching is echoed by the Apostle Paul as he exhorted the Corinthians about their time together around the Lord's table. We're all familiar with those words, let a man examine himself. There's need for personal assessment and judgment even before we come to the service. We have to be looking at our lives, thinking through the previous week, examining our relationships in our families, in the workplace, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Are there sins that need to be repented of to God? Are there relationships that need to be made right? Has there been faithfulness in our walk with the Lord? These matters should be addressed and dealt with even before we come to worship, or there will be walls up between God and ourselves that will cause no present benefit. Now we know these things. We could rattle off Paul's words spoken to the Corinthian church by memory. And yet how easy it is to become sloppy, to forget our responsibility to prepare, to be in a rush on Sunday morning and not have adequate time to make the necessary spiritual heart preparation. But not only should we be examining our preparation, what about our behavior at the Lord's table? And by this, the Puritans aren't asking, you know, were you chewing gum? Were you doing... Their behavior is, how were you involved? Was your mind fully engaged in the service? What about your heart? Was there intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Were we putting away distractions, fixing our minds entirely upon Christ? Have we been here seeking after our Savior? Has our time been marked by a prayerful spirit, speaking often to the Lord Jesus, making the hymns into prayers, just as we were singing, "More love to thee, O Christ." I hope you weren't just singing that into the air. We should be speaking those words to Christ. "Lord Jesus, please draw near to me. I have a desire in my heart to love you more in all of the circumstances of life." Have we been observing in the service the actions, the breaking of bread, the passing of the cup, the taking of those elements, eating and drinking? Have we been observing those things and thinking through their significance? Have our minds been considering the symbolic nature of what we're doing? Our carriage, our behavior at the Lord's table is of the utmost importance because of the person that we are meeting with here. In Psalm 24, the exhortation goes out to Israel, "Prepare your heart. Who can stand in God's holy place? Make sure you come with clean hands and a pure heart, because we're about to meet the Lord of glory." And the call goes out to the gates of Jerusalem, "Open wide the doors, lift up your bars. The King of glory is about to enter, and come with us into the temple for worship." This king is a mighty warrior on behalf of his people. He is the head and the champion of the armies of God. That Old Testament picture is only strengthened when we consider that as we come to the Lord's table, the King of glory is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the mighty warrior who on behalf of his people has faced down the world and hell and sin and Satan and defeated them. He's the glorious conqueror who, because of his death on the cross, his sufferings and agony, he is now exalted at the Father's right hand and crowned King of kings and Lord of lords. And yet he continues to appear in heaven with the marks of his sufferings in his hands and feet and side, because that's the heart of the Lord Jesus. It's all about what he did for us. And so you see this clear need for a reminder. We are coming here to meet with the Lord of glory. He's here in our presence. Our glorious Lord Jesus, who poured out his life unto death. How important then that we prepare our hearts ahead of time so that when we come, there will be nothing to hinder, and that our behavior here in this service will in all aspects acknowledge the Lord of glory is right here with us. And everything that I do, everything that I think, everything that I speak, I want it to honor him. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, please help us to be very conscious of your presence here with us. Thank you for your promise that you gave to your disciples so long ago, that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. O Lord Jesus, please help us now as we come to the table and take up these elements of bread and juice. Help us to remember you in the giving of your body, in the shedding of your blood, that we might know a free and gracious salvation. Help us, Lord Jesus, to draw near to you in fellowship. Help us to love you more. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.